The following program is brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice, and all economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal. Any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any person for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax, and penalties may be imposed on such persons, and each listener should seek advice from their own tax advisor, legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice. Nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the show today. Wayne Thacker filling in for David Hayes. And in the studio live today with me is Ryan Belcher. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Wayne-O. What's going on?
Man, we are just living the dream today. Just finished up visits with Franklin Community Schools in Franklin, Indiana. And today's show, I bring that up because today's show is all about public employees. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the teachers in Indiana. We're going to be talking about school employees, and yes, that's you, custodians, cafeteria workers, office admin, superintendents. It's everybody involved in the school corporations. And also, a lot of this stuff is going to be transcended over to government workers. And really, we're going to specifically be talking about this group of people today. But if you're someone out there that has a pension or has Social Security or has investments, a lot of these topics will be able to transcend right to your situation. And we're just going to cover some items today that you might want to be thinking about if you're preparing for retirement or if you're just getting starting out and you want to know, you know, what's this look like in the future for me, whether that's a near future, long term down the road. What's happening for me? So today, Ryan and I are filling in for David, and I think David is in Orlando, Florida with his wife, Misty. They are on conference, I believe. Ryan, do you know what they're doing?
It's some kind of conference that they're on, I believe.
They are probably in a swimming pool somewhere, I would guess.
Probably.
And we are here in rainy Bloomington. I'm actually missing my son Parker is a freshman baseball player for Bloomington South, and he is in Martinsville today. I thought they were going to get rained out.
Didn't get rained out?
No, they are not rained out. Wow. So Heather and Myra are there supporting Parker. Good luck, Park. Hope you get a big hit tonight.
Home run.
So we are here in the studio. We're going to be talking about public employees. If you are a public employee or you're someone that has a job that's thinking about retirement at some point in time, you're going to want to listen in. It's all going to point to you. So we're going to be right back. We're going to get started. We're going to talk about NPERS. We're going to talk about Social Security. We're going to talk about investments. We're going to talk about some of the other things today. We're going to kind of go over, you know, what if you have aging parents that you're still caring for? What if you have kids still at home? What if you're still paying college expenses or have mortgage debt and you're thinking about retiring this year, Ryan? I have that question today. What if you're working with an advisor? You've got NPERS, you've got this pension. This thing is scary for a lot of people, including other advisors that don't work in this niche. At Franklin Schools today, I had no less than three people come up. They're already have an established relationship with an advisor, and they come in to me and they say, Wayne, look, our advisor knows nothing about this. They know nothing about my pension. They know nothing about my annuity savings account. As a matter of fact, Wayne, I've worked for the corporation for almost 40 years, and I don't know anything about it. Did you get any of that, Ryan?
That happens all the time. So they came to the right guys to fill them in.
We are the guys. So right after this break, we're going to come right back, and we're going to jump right into Indiana State Teacher Retirement Pension. Hey, welcome back to the show, everyone. This is Your Money with David Hayes, and I'm filling in for David today. I'm Wayne Thacker, and in studio with me, co-host Ryan Belcher. And today, it's all about teacher retirement fund, public employee retirement fund, all funneled into this thing called NPERS, or Indiana Retirement System. Ryan, we've been working on this for many years now. We've kind of become the experts in this market. We work with our local school, our local government, and some surrounding communities. Tell the audience kind of how we got into this. What makes us knowledgeable in this thing?
Sure. So, you know, our office, we do personal financial planning. And for a long time, we've had teacher clients and public employee clients. And so we kind of had a basic understanding of how those benefits worked. But then in 2008, 8 years ago, we kind of got hooked up with the Monroe County School Corporation. And we became the personal financial advisor for their employees. And in that process, we realized that there's really a ton to know about teacher and public employee benefits, that the just kind of the ins and outs that we didn't necessarily know. We kind of knew the basics, but not the heavy details. So, you know, at that time, myself and a couple other folks at our office, and then you and a little bit later came in and really kind of dove into the ins and outs of the teacher retirement fund, all the rules, how it works, and then the benefits that those folks have. And since then, we've kind of morphed into an expert in that area, and now we work with several different school corporations in some capacity, and I really do think that we're kind of the local experts in the area on teacher retirement and public employee benefits.
I got that today. I mean, again, just to reiterate, but we come out of Franklin Schools today, kind of doing presentations at the individual buildings, and had no less than three people come in that are already working with advisors, but just kind of laid down and said, "Hey, my advisor doesn't know about this stuff, so that's why I'm here to talk to you today."
Well, and it's most people who have the benefits don't know about the stuff, or at least don't know, you know, maybe as much as they think. And in some cases, they know that they don't know that much about it. I mean, I had several people come in and say, I know nothing about this, just explain it all to me. And so in 15 minutes, I had to try to explain as much as possible. But it's common. And that's why, you know, that's why we do what we do and have a job, because people just don't understand this stuff.
Let's break this down. Let's try to simplify this today. We're not going to go into the high weeds. What we want to be able to do is we want to be able to point somebody to this and give them a brief overview, kind of do what we do in 15 minutes when we meet with someone and we only have 10 or 15 minutes. We kind of want to do that on the show today, just to have something that we can point someone to. Someone that doesn't quite get it in 15 minutes, we can say, look, go back, listen to this show. We can point to them. So let's start with the Indiana pension, okay? This is used to be called Teacher Retirement Fund, or PERF, still is. Those are kind of the subcategories, but it all filtered into this INPRS. They're trying to rebrand this name. Yep. This is what they have now, and it's whether, you know, Teacher Retirement Fund or PERF. There's two parts to this system, and people don't understand these parts. They get their statements, or they used to get their statements. Now you have to log online to even see what you have in there. But the first part is an annuity savings account, Ryan. This is the money. So people get statements. They're used to seeing some kind of balance, and this is the part they see. Can you explain the annuity savings account just a little bit?
Sure. And I do want to say real quick that with PERF and teacher retirement, we're going to talk about kind of the basic PERF and teacher retirement. There are some unique versions of PERF, especially if you're a judge or a police or firefighter. Your version may be slightly different than this, but we're going to talk about the basic. But it's a two-part system. The annuity is that's the money that you see on your statements. They used to send out statements quarterly. Now you have to specially request a statement if you want to get one. Otherwise, it's all online, electronically. But when you get a statement and you see a balance, that's your annuity balance. The way that works is while you're working, typically your employer is putting money in at a rate of 3% into the annuity each year for you. Some places allow you to put extra money into the annuity if you so choose. But the 3% is kind of the basic amount that goes in.
And that's 3% of your salary. So if you get paid $100, $3 goes in.
That's right. So it's every pay, your 3% of what you get gross pay, that pay. Money goes in. When it's in there, you have several different investment options in which to choose from while you're working. So there are target date funds, which are kind of like age-based plans. There are individual investments, and then there's what's called the guaranteed fund. Several different investment choices you have to pick from while you're working. And then at retirement, you have several options on what to do with that money when you retire.
And you can keep the money there until you're 70 and a half. You can roll it into your pension, which we're about to talk about, or you can roll it over to an IRA. Mm-hmm. No taxes, no fees, and then that IRA can be established for whatever retirement goals you have. And we're going to kind of get into what an IRA means to a retiree here in just a little bit.
Yeah, so a lot of people take it as a lump sum, and to a lot of people they think, well, if I take it a lump sum, I'm going to be taxed or penalized on it. When we say take it as a lump sum, that's what that means, is typically it's rolled into another retirement account. That way you possess the money, it's yours, it has beneficiaries, you kind of control how it's invested, et cetera.
And so one thing we do talk to a lot of people about on the annuity savings account, if you choose to roll it into your pension, mm-hmm. which we're about to talk about the pension, the money's lost. You have no more control of the money.
Yep.
And what we found is if you live about, I don't know, Ryan, it's 3-4 years in retirement, and then you pass away, there is no more money there because they use that annuity savings account to actually pay you the annuity savings account portion of your pension and your pension amount. And it exhausts that ASA pretty quickly. So if you're one of those folks that want to leave any leftover money to beneficiaries, kids, a spouse, something like that, then maybe rolling it into the pension might not be the best idea. But definitely, it just makes you want to talk to somebody.
There can certainly, yeah. So all the stuff we're talking about, everybody is in a unique situation. You know, if I was a public employee, my situation would be totally different than yours. So it is so important to sit down and discuss your specific situation with somebody so that someone can give you advice based on your situation and not just, oh, my friend did this when they retired, so that's what I'm going to do. Or, you know, this is what I've heard, so this is what I'm going to do. You really need to look at what you got going on, your other investments, your other monies coming in. But yeah, what you're talking about is at retirement, if you choose to roll that money into the pension, that money is basically gone. It is now added to your monthly benefit. So you get an extra monthly, an extra check every month, or an added amount to your check every month for the rest of your life, but you no longer have access to the money, etc. So if you're someone who absolutely needs to maximize your monthly income, maybe that's a good idea to roll it into the pension. If you're someone who cares more about accessibility, leaving it to beneficiaries, maybe needing to get to some money to travel or to do something else with, or control the money, then maybe it's a better idea to roll it out.
Might not be the best option. Okay, so that's the first part to the pension system. The second part is actually a pension itself. And let's talk a little bit about what a pension is. A pension is a lifetime payment. So Ryan, you work for an employer. You retire from the employer. They will pay you a monthly check now every day, every month for the rest of your life, and potentially for a spouse or another beneficiary's life. Yep. There is a pension. The pension with NPERS is based on your years of service and your highest 5 salary years averaged together.
Right.
It has nothing to do with how much money you have in the annuity savings account and your 403Bs. Has nothing to do with how much you've saved. It just has to do with how long you've worked, how old you are when you claim, potentially, or when you can claim, and your highest 5 salary years. So we're going to talk a little bit, just kind of briefly go over the rule of 85, rule of 75. That question came up a lot this week while we were in Franklin.
Yep. So you're right. There's a monthly pension benefit. You have to qualify for this pension benefit, unlike the annuity. So that annuity we were just talking about with the state, 3% goes in. That's your money.
From day one.
From day one. So if you work for a school corporation or a public employee position for a year or 2 or 5 years, and you do something else, leave, you can take that money with you. You can roll it out to a different plan or just cash it out. That's your money. There's a pension that you must be vested in. And to be vested in the pension, the full unreduced pension, you've got to either meet the rule of 85, that's the most common way, or what we refer to as the rule of 75. Rule of 85 says years of service plus age must equal 85. So for example, if I'm a 55-year-old teacher or employee, and I've got 30 years of experience, that equals 85. So I could retire and get full benefits. That full benefits is still based on your number of years of service. So if I kept working, my amount would go up, but I then qualify it when I meet that rule of 85 for an unreduced pension benefit. If you're 60, then you have to have at least 15 years in. And if you're 65, you have to have at least 10 years in. So the minimum is you have to have at least 10 years to get something from a pension.
And there are some special rules if you're disabled, things that we're not going to dive into that tonight, but there are some special rules there.
Yep. And then, you know, there are survivor benefits, decisions you have to make with the pension. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk about, you know, those ins and outs of those pension decisions at retirement.
Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. Wayne Thacker in studio with Ryan Belcher. The power team is in the house.
Power team.
We are talking about Indiana retirement, and we are talking about specifically school employees and public employees. If you work for a government, a school building, not so much a fireman or a firefighter or a police officer, but some of this stuff does point to those folks as well. And also some of this stuff is you can transition over to, you know, if you work at General Electric, there's pensions there. If you work for GM, there's pensions there. So some of this stuff will translate over. Ryan, before we went to break, we were talking about pensions, investing. And I a quick question came up, and I just took this from today. Someone came in, you talked about the rule of 85.
Right.
Their age and their years of service equaled 84, but they've just had enough, Ryan. They don't want it anymore. They're done. They've had so many years teaching, and they're not quite to the rule of 85. They said, what happens if I walk away this year? Do I lose my pension? I didn't meet the rule. What happens? Yep.
So that's a question that comes up fairly frequently. And you have a couple options if that's the case. So let's say you're wanting to retire and you're not quite there. You're almost to the rule, whether you're almost to the rule of 85 or maybe you're 58 and once you hit 60, you'll meet it because you'll have the, you know, more than 15 years in. You can do one of a couple things. One thing is you can retire from that job, you know, do something else or get by for, you know, a couple years until your age is old enough where your age plus your years of service is equal to 85. So let's say you're 55 and you have 33 years of service. That only equals 83. But you've just had enough. You could stop working at 55, wait 2 years. Now you're 57. You still only have 33 years of service, but that equals, that equals the 85. So you can then apply for the benefits and start receiving, you know, full benefits. That's one option. The other option is as long as you have a minimum of 20 years of service credit, you can file and get a reduced amount. That reduced amount is based on your age. There's a table online on the in.gov/INPRS website that you can look at, but it's a reduction. It's a percentage based on your age. So if you're, let's say you're 50 and you have 20 years and you're retired and you just have to start that benefit, you can't wait and grow into it. You could start it, but I think it's like 49% of what you would have gotten if you had waited until the rule.
Nice.
The other thing to keep in mind real quick on that too, is a lot of places in order to stay on their like insurance and their benefits as a retiree, you have to have qualified for full retirement, unreduced retirement, when you separate in order to keep that stuff. So that's something to keep in mind too. If you're thinking about doing that, you might want to check with your employer to see if you're going to be missing out on something if you leave early.
Health insurance is a big deal. That's probably the number one thing that keeps people working until age 65 or real close. We run into that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan, real quick, rocket fire some questions here. I'm a state employee. I work for the government, Ryan. Do I pay taxes on my pension?
Yes. So a little bit ago, we were talking about some formula that they use to determine how much you're going to be making. That formula determines what's called a straight life benefit. An unreduced benefit. That is gross. So when you retire and you start receiving that money, that is a taxable distribution. And when you file your retirement paperwork, you elect whether or not you want federal, state, and local taxes withheld, because it is taxed at the federal, state, and local level. And if you don't have them withheld, then when you file your taxes, you're going to owe them. The one thing you don't pay into, though, that you do when you're working is Social Security and Medicare taxes. Those are not... Those don't come out of the pension, but federal, state, local taxes do.
So there is some tax planning that needs to go into it. Okay, Ryan, a lot of pensions, let's say you're a federal employee, you got FERS or civil service, GE, I mean, a lot of those pensions, they give me cost of living adjustments. Tell me, what does the state of Indiana give me?
Yep, so there is not a cost of living adjustment on your pension if you're a state employee. If your pension is $1,500 a month today, it's going to be $1,500 a month 20 years from now. That's just the way it works. There is a what they call the 13th check. So if you've been retired at least 1 year and the state decides to issue this 13th check, they do send out a, it's typically a few hundred dollars, but it's a 13th check that kind of helps, you know, maybe with some cost of living stuff, but it does not increase your pension from there on out. So it'll go back to the same amount the following year. And then if you get a 13th check that year, you get one.
Ryan, you gave me my calculation. It's, you know, my check's $1,500 a month for the rest of my life. I'm just going to go ahead and add Heather onto this thing too. It's $1,500 for the rest of her life too, right?
So, and this is something that we talk to people all the time about because people don't get this or they need some counseling when it comes to this stuff. But that formula, the years of service times average of your five highest years of pay times 1.1%, that gets you the straight life benefit. That, if you choose that amount, it's good for the rest of your life. And the day you die, it's basically gone. There's nothing left. If you want to add a spouse or someone else as a survivor benefit, you can do that. There's a couple different levels. There's 100% survivor, 66 and two-thirds survivor, 50% survivor, and a couple other kind of off options. But you can do that, but there's a cost to it. So let's say you're retiring and it's $1,500 a month, and you want to make sure that if something happens to you, Heather's still going to get that money. Well, if you want her to get 100% of what you're getting, they're going to charge you for that. So maybe instead of getting $1,500 a month, you get $1,300 or $1,350 a month. But now, if you die, Heather's going to still get that same $1,300 or $1,350.
And that's going to be taxed too.
That's taxed.
Ryan, okay, I've met the rule of 85. I'm there, man. I'm 55. I've got 30 years of service. I started as a young man.
Yep.
Why am I going to continue to work?
Well, like we just talked about a little bit ago, continuing to work adds to your pension. So if you meet the rule of 85, you think, okay, I've made it. I've got my full unreduced amount. That full unreduced amount is still based on that formula. So if you keep working, the formula includes your number of years of service. So simple math, if you keep adding more years in a formula, it's going to bump up your amount. So every year you keep working, it's going to be more money. And that survivor option thing we were just talking about, the reduction that they charge you for a survivor is based off the age of your survivor. So if you keep working longer, your survivor's getting older, and it would be a, you know, potentially a smaller cost to add a survivor too.
Ryan, we just covered the in-person pension system pretty generically. There's a lot of other little intricate things that could go in here. We're going to wrap this segment up. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come right back. We're going to talk a little bit about savings, investments, Social Security. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Wayne Thacker here in studio with Ryan Belcher, co-hosting a show for public employees and teachers and government workers and firemen and police officers in Indiana. Shout out to all of you guys. Thank you for your service. We just covered the NPERS retirement system, Ryan. We kind of glanced over that a little bit, hit a couple 1-2 punches to give people an idea of a couple things they need to be thinking about. Spousal benefits, pensions, ASAs, all that good stuff. We're going to talk about Social Security in just a minute. The part that kind of gets left to the end is the part that we are also specialists in. We're financial advisors. We talk to people about saving for retirement and using that savings as retirement income. There are so many things in a school. People don't understand all these terms. Let's just cover them briefly. Let's talk about all this terminology and what it means and all this stuff. Let's start with the 403B.
All right. So I want to say one thing. We always talk to people about the three-legged stool of retirement. So that applies to anybody that has a pension. There's three legs. So anybody that's a teacher or a public employee, you have three legs to your retirement stool. The pension piece, Social Security, and then this third leg is retirement savings. And that's where the 403B and 401A come into. So a 403B is simply a retirement savings plan that is through an employer that you can put money into out of your own paycheck. So You have the annuity savings account with the state that is funded typically by the employer. The 403B is what it's the corporation's retirement plan that you can put money into.
Similar to a 401K in the private world.
It's exactly the same thing. So a 401K is a company plan. A 403B is typically a school or a hospital or a not-for-profit retirement plan.
This is something people usually can defer. We won't get into it, but a Roth is a popular option now. We talk with folks about that. 401A, Ryan.
401A is very similar to a 403B. The difference is in the public world, an employee's contributions go into a 403B account, and the employer match goes into a 401A. So a lot of corporations or employers offer a match. If you put money into the 403B, they'll match you. Well, it's simply those matching funds go into a 401A.
Why do they keep those separate, Ryan? Why not just have one
account? There's rules. There are, especially on the 401A, there are rules with regard to like vesting. And so what that means is typically an employer will have like a five-year vesting schedule on the match. So you have to stay with that employer for 5 years, we'll say, to keep the money that they put in as a match. So they separate them out so they can kind of keep track of whose money's whose and the vesting or whether or not you're entitled to that match money if you leave.
Ryan, I'm deferring money into my 403B, got this 401A, I get to retirement. All of a sudden, I've got this 403B, 401A, a annuity savings account. I want all this money. It's going to produce an income stream for me down the road or right now while I'm in retirement. What do I do with all these? How do I get the money out of these plans?
So this is where it gets a little bit more complicated, and this is really where, again, we talked earlier about how everyone's in a different situation. What you do with this kind of stuff at retirement really should be based on your own situation. So you retire, you've got this money coming in from the pension system every month. You got your Social Security coming in every month, typically. And then you have this money in your 403Bs or 401As or maybe IRAs, Roths, whatever. So what do you do with it? Some people will need to take out a monthly distribution from that money to kind of cover their monthly expenses. So maybe their pension, Social Security is not enough. They need to take some more out to kind of help offset some of their living costs. Some people are perfectly fine month to month with their pension money, their Social Security money. Maybe they have their house paid off or whatever, and they just don't need as much coming in. So they can kind of leave that money alone in accounts and just kind of, you know, get to it when they need it. Maybe some expense comes up and they can just dip into that account, take it out. There's some rules. Those rules are typically you must be 59 and a half to take money out of pre-tax 403Bs, 401As, retirement accounts without a penalty. And you must start taking money out of pre-tax retirement accounts once you turn 70 and a half. That's the required minimum distribution age. And that's simply because this money's gone into these accounts pre-tax over the years. The government, the IRS, wants you to have to pay tax on that money eventually. So they make you start taking it out. It's not a ton. The first year you turn 70 and a half, it's 3.65% of your balance that you have to take out. So it's not like you have to take the whole thing out, but they just make you, they force out some distribution so you can't just sit on it forever and not take any out and pay taxes.
Important to note that you do pay federal, state, and local taxes on all pre-tax dollars. This is pre-tax for the Thacker family. It means money that's never been taxed, right?
That's right.
Roth. Little different story. Money gets taxed first, then it goes in. Hopefully it grows, and then you pull that out. No tax consequences, and a lot of other benefits to the Roth as well.
And the Roth is a somewhat newer concept. A lot of school districts, especially, but employers in general, have just recently added a Roth sleeve to their 403B plan. And this kind of gets people confused too, because they don't understand, you know, the difference and how they put money in the Roth, but. You usually, or if your employer offers a Roth, you would have the option of putting your money in either pre-tax or post-tax. It still goes into the same 403B. It's just whether it's taxed on the front end or the back end. So a Roth, you put it in post-tax. It grows tax-free, so you never pay taxes on the growth. And then when you pull it out, you don't owe any taxes.
Ryan, taxes, big deal. Someone come in today. They say, you know, I've already looked at their situation. They're in great shape. They've saved money. They've got a big pension. They've got Social Security about to kick in. They're going to retire this year. Wayne, I've got 7 months left of working. I'm going to work the rest of this year and actually work half of the next school year, and I'm done. Question was, should I go ahead and up my contribution to my investments? You know, should I up that $25-$30? My answer today was, let's look at the rest of the situation.
Sure.
Still had a little car loan.
Yep.
Paying that off probably seemed to be a better bang for the buck. No mortgage, but like I told her, it's not going to hurt to have a little money in the bank too, Ryan.
Sure.
You know, we talk about all these investments, but so, you know, Dave Ramsey talks a lot about having that emergency money.
Right.
Nothing wrong with actually just building up that emergency cash bucket as
well. We get those type of questions all the time. Someone will come in, or we'll see somebody, or they'll come in for an appointment and say, let's throw out some generic question like, should I be doing this or should I be doing this? Or, you know, should I be doing Roth or should I be doing pre-tax? Should I be putting money into 403B? Should I be putting money into a college savings, or should I be saving it in a savings account? And you're exactly right. Totally dependent on their situation. When someone just generically asks us that, we can't really answer that question unless we know what they've got, what their debts are, how much they have already saved in reserves, things like that. So it just goes back to the importance of doing a full comprehensive plan and, not just kind of making decisions based on what your friend's doing.
No one size fits all. Just real quick, I get the common question, how much should I be putting away?
Yep.
I wrote an article recently. If you only save 10% of your income, mathematically it takes 51 years to save enough for retirement.
Yep. Now, being a public employee and having a pension, that factors into that.
It does factor. Yep.
Again, we talk about the three-legged stool. This is one stool, so same deal. You need to look at your whole picture to see how much you kind of back into how much you need to be saving, and also how that money should be invested.
We're going to come right back and talk about the other parts of the stool, Ryan. This is Your Money for David Hayes. Welcome back. It's Your Money with David Hayes, and Wayne Thacker is here in studio with Ryan Belcher, co-hosting this show today. While David is in a swimming pool somewhere down in Orlando, Florida, and I'm not even really sure what David's doing this week, but I know it's important. He is with one of our vendors, I believe, getting some education in this week and kind of getting rejuvenated, and Misty is there with him, and we just wish him the best. Can't wait to see him again next week and have a listen to this show. Ryan and I are talking about NPERS retirement. We're talking about government workers for the state of Indiana, and that's you, public employees. That's you work for a school, you work for a government. This show is all about you today. You should feel very special. We've talked about the pension. We've talked about savings. We're going to talk a little bit, Ryan, about Social Security. This happens to be a subject that is near and dear to my heart. I captured this thing several years ago. We've gone through the roller coaster of having the rules, knowing the rules, implementing the rules.
Having the rules change.
Having the rules change. Now we're having to kind of reinvent what we're talking about with Social Security. But this thing is so important, Ryan. We've had many shows on Social Security. I'm just going to go over this really quick. If you want specific information, you can reach out to us at cfci.us. I'm going to talk about the four pillars quickly. Taxes with Social Security. Social Security is not taxed like your other income. Ryan talked about taxes with the NPERS pension, federal, state, and local. Taxes with your pre-tax retirement savings, your 401ks, 403bs, all that good stuff. Going to pay taxes, guys. You're going to pay federal, state, and local taxes. Social Security, you do not pay state taxes or local taxes in Indiana. You only pay federal taxes, and not all of the benefit is taxable at the federal level. I tell people that first thing I get is, whoa, my Social Security is taxable. Unfortunately, if you have means, yes. If Social Security were your only income, it's not high enough, regardless of how much you earned, it's not high enough to be taxed. But if you have a pension, investment assets, you start pulling those things out, it's going to cause your Social Security to be taxable in some realm. Cost of living adjustments. The pension check in Indiana does not have a built-in cost of living. It only has a 13th check. It's not contractual. You don't know if you're going to get it year by year. Your investments, you hope that the investments rise with inflation, the stock market goes up, and you hope that you can get an inflation adjustment. But you're kind of crossing your fingers some years. Might have down year, 2008 might come. Might not be the best year to take an inflation adjustment. Social Security has built-in automatic inflation adjustments into the program. Spousal benefits, Ryan. We talked about a person with a pension. Let's say it's $1,500 a month. They want to take on a spousal benefit. They want to add a spouse 100% continuation. That costs them $200 or $300 a month in some cases. Yep. Social Security, no spousal benefit cost. If my benefit's $1,500, Heather's is $1,000, I die, Heather's going to get my $1,500 check. The important note there is that one benefit's going to leave the house in a married situation.
Sure.
There are all kinds of strategies we've talked about on this show. Are you widowed? Are you divorced? Is your spouse older than you, younger than you? When should you claim? Why should you delay? What kind of claim and suspend strategy can I use? What kind of file and suspend? What kind of power couple strategy? We've got those. They still exist. They did take away one important strategy for the younger folks. But if you're already over age 62, chances are you're still going to qualify for something. But we'll talk about that in another show coming up.
I want to point out, too, real quick, you're talking about spouse or survivor benefits with Social Security. If one spouse dies, that the other spouse basically steps up to that higher of the two benefits. There's also a little known rule, and this is kind of where all those planning strategies came from, but this thing called a spousal benefit, where if you have a spouse who is collecting Social Security, you are eligible or entitled to a spousal benefit, which is one half of what your spouse is getting. That's where these rules come into play, where sometimes you can take that instead of your own, or maybe you didn't work at all, or had a very low earnings and your spouse has a higher earnings. You're eligible for the spousal, which is, again, one half of what your spouse is collecting.
We're going to kind of stay in the same realm, but let's talk about this. Medicare, it is attached to the Social Security Administration. However, it's a different benefit than Social Security, Ryan. There's different ages at which a person reaches full Social Security age. It used to be 65. It went up to 66. Yep. For you and I, it's 67. We're young men, so we can't claim our full benefit until a little bit later in life. That's for all folks born after 1954. But Medicare has stayed the same. Medicare, you can claim at age 65. For everyone out there right now, until they change those rules too. But at 65, you qualify for Medicare. Medicare, generically, is about three parts. Part A is, we'll call it the free part, but it's the part that we're all paying into while right. We're working. Freebie. Part B is kind of, that's the part that pays for your doctor visits and procedures and things like that. Costs you about $120 a month right now, and that is probably going to go up. Then there's this third part, this supplemental part, your drug plan, co-pays, Medicare Advantage, which is kind of an all-encompassing plan. But Medicare's three parts. It's very complicated. The third part of this is what fills up your mailbox as you get closer to 65. Talk to somebody.
And that's the part, you absolutely want to talk to somebody, because how many times have we heard someone say, oh, I got my prescription plan, or I got my supplemental plan through so-and-so because that's what my friend had, or that's what someone told me to do. You really need to talk to somebody who does that. We don't do that. We just know enough about it to be dangerous, but we don't do supplementals. But you need to talk to somebody so they can look at your situation and help you pick the one that is best for what you got going on.
Can't stress on that enough. We're talking about public employees. A lot of our folks, Ryan, they went into teaching, let's say, right out of college. They're 22, 23 years old. They put in 35, 36, 37 years of service.
Yep.
They're not 65 yet.
Sure.
They get out. They're 60, 61, 62, 63 years old. They're trying to fill that gap before Medicare. That's the big thing that keeps them going.
Yep. So a lot of times you can stay on your employer insurance, but typically the employer's been paying part of your insurance premium while you've been working. And a lot of times if you go off of it, you can stay on it, but now you got to pick up the entire premium on your own. And that's a tough one for people. And that's, we'd have that conversation all the time. How am I going to pay for this health insurance? Well, maybe you need to segment a certain bucket of your money or asset you have to help pay for that for a few
years. Not cheap either, Ryan. $500 or $600 for a single person typically. In a lot of cases. Hey, if you're the one carrying the insurance for the family, you're
$1,300 a bucks potentially.
It's not cheap. Hopefully you got some sort of VEBA out there. We didn't talk on VEBA. We'll talk about that next time. But Other insurances to think about as you hit retirement, long-term care. That's become, you know, I'm hitting my 60s and 70s. Mom and dad are a little older. They're needing some care now. I'm starting to think about, man, is this something I need? I see what's happening to mom and dad. That's something to talk to us about or talk to somebody that's really knowledgeable in this area about life insurance.
Sure.
Maybe that's a better way to go than leaving spousal benefits. Yep. We talk about that. We do good comparisons on the life insurance program. So a lot of things to think about. We're going to wrap this show up. We've got a nice wrap up coming right back at you. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. Wayne Thacker here in studio co-hosting with Ryan Belcher today. And we've had a great show on NPERS and PERF and TURF and all these words, Ryan. We've talked about investments and 403Bs. There is so much to talk about. Someone has worked in the public sector. They come in to retirement. And you said it earlier. They usually have no idea. They've taught second grade their entire career, or they've worked in the government office. They've gone in, they've served the public. They just day-to-day activities. They're not looking at this stuff. They're not looking at their investments and 457 plans and all of these good things. And now all of a sudden they got to deal with a two-part pension. They got to deal with Social Security. They got to deal with spousal benefits. Is it best to take it from the pension? Is it best to take it from Social Security? What about long-term care? Parents are sick. Still got kids living in the basement at home, and another one that's finishing up college and is coming home right after that. Someone made a joke today. They said, kid graduated from college, brought the diploma home. Great. Put it in the drawer.
Yeah.
Kid then got his first job and brought his business card home. Dad framed it.
Yeah,
so, nice. You know, there's all kinds of things to be thinking about. What's the best way to take the pension, Social Security strategies, investments? Are you looking for dividend income? Are you looking for something guaranteed? What are you looking for?
And this is all the stuff that we sit down and help individuals for sure deal with, look at their situation. You know, we also do our retirement workshop, Understanding Your Retirement Benefits, typically for school corporations, where we give a general overview, you know, of all this stuff, how it kind of works, the ins and outs of these decisions that we just talked about. So, you know, if you're with any school corporations out there, call us, bring us in. We'll do a workshop for your employees and kind of help them, you know, stay on the right railroad tracks.
It's about 45 minutes. Great presentation. We are doing a town hall on dementia. Look us up, cfci.us. Your Money with you.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.